of his ministerial calling, he becomes like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. The story of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord goes all the way back to the time when God brought the children of Israel under the leadership of Moses out of the land of Egypt. Before they were to continue their journey into the promised land, God had commanded Moses, when he was in Midian on the backside of the desert, that when you go back and tell Pharaoh that I said, let my people go, you are to bring them back to this mountain, the Mount of Sinai, the Mount of Horeb. And it was there that the Lord gave to him the laws that would govern the nation of Israel. But he also commanded him to take from the acacia tree shittim wood. And he was to build a box, a wooden box, that was approximately 4 feet long and about 2 feet wide and 2 feet high. And that box was to have on each side of it 4 gold rings. And the 4 gold rings were so that the pole could go through the 2 rings on one side, and the pole would go through the 2 rings on the other side, that as they would travel, this would be the means by which they would carry the ark. They were also commanded that the top would be overlaid with pure gold. And that pure gold top would become known as the mercy seat. Perched on each end would be the cherubim angels, with their wings spreading across the top. And when God even spoke to Moses, the smoke would rise up between the cherubims. Inside of the box, they were to place within it the 2 tables of the testimony, the 10 commandments. They were also to place in it a pot of manna. And they were also to place in it Aaron's rod that budded. And when they would travel, the priests would get in front of the procession. And those carrying the ark, one holding it on his shoulder in front, another one behind, lifting it. They were not to touch the box itself, but they were only to touch the poles. Now, a strange thing happened, that when the ark first came into the camp, that somebody said, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. And the people rejoiced at the entrance of the presence of the ark, which was the place where God's presence dwelt. As they were constantly having to fight, one of their persistent enemies was the Philistines. And one day, after Moses had passed off the scene, Joshua had come and gone, Eli was now the priest and judge, had 2 sons, one by the name of Hophni and the other one named Phinehas. And we talk about that great sin of lying with the women at the house of God. But when you go back and read it, God was angry with them for that. But he was even more angry with them for the way that they received the offering. Now, I better not mess with that too much. But you see, they were to bring, the people were to bring that meat offering. It would be presented to the priest, symbolically being presented to the Lord. After it had been offered to God, burned with fire, they could take the fork and stick it into the meat offering. And that which came up belonged to the priest. But they had gotten so greedy until they didn't give the people the opportunity to offer it to the Lord. They just took what they wanted. And God was angry with them. He told Eli what he disliked. But Eli just went on and let his sons do what they wanted to do. And you can say what you want to. This is a day when everybody wants to do their own thing. But when God makes you the responsible person, you can't always let folk do everything they want to do. You lose popularity when you try to keep order and don't let folk do what they want to do. Bishops get in trouble when they don't allow people under their supervision to do what they want to do. Pastors get in trouble when they don't let folk do what they want to do. Yeah, even parents get in trouble when they don't allow their children to do what they want to do. But we've got to understand that God gave us a book. And in this book, he's given us some do's and don'ts. And I don't care what society says. God does not allow men to marry men. God does not allow women to marry women. I don't care what is said to be politically right. Nothing is really right but what God says in his word. Please sit down, y'all. Let me go a little further here. Eli let his sons do whatever they wanted to do. Finally, one day when they were in battle with the Philistines, they were losing. In the midst of their losing of the battles, Hophni and Phinehas decided, oh, we know what to do. We'll go and get the ark. When they brought the ark into the camp, all of a sudden, the Israelites rejoiced. The Philistines were terrified because they understood the history of the ark. But after a while, even though they had the ark, they still lost because God was displeased with Hophni and Phinehas. When the ark was taken by the Philistines, it was a holy thing. But the Philistines were an unholy people. And the thing that had blessed Israel cursed the Philistines. They passed it from one of their principal cities through all five of their cities. Gath and Gaza and Ashdod, Ascalon, Ashdod, all five of their cities. And the men were stricken with what was called hemorrhoids. Really was a bleeding kind of hemorrhoids. And they also had to deal with an infestation of mice. all because they had a holy thing that didn't belong to them. And I'm afraid sometimes that we allow those who don't know our God. Oh my, my. And some of us brought up in the Church of God in Christ, a Pentecostal church, for next year we'll be celebrating 100 years. And then you look and see some folk that just heard about it, don't know anything about the Holy Ghost, but they go to teaching some kind of crazy doctrine. And the next thing you know, you who've been in the university of the Holy Ghost, go down the street to the kindergarten trying to learn about the Holy Ghost. Don't y'all mess with me on them instruments yet. Please let me go a little further. When Israel lost the ark, you see, at this time, Shiloh was the headquarters. Shiloh was where the annual feast took place. But after the ark was taken, you don't hear any more about them gathering in Shiloh. But years later, God raised up Jerusalem. Didn't make sense to go to Shiloh if the glory of God was gone. If the ark was not there and the presence of God was not there, there was no need for them to keep going to Shiloh. That's the way it is now with a lot of so-called churches. It's nothing but brick and mortar. People go there sick and leave sicker. They go there angry and leave mad. They go there trying to get help and they leave in worse shape. If the glory of God is not in the church, I don't care if Grandma did used to worship in that church. There's no need in getting up on Sunday morning to go to a place where the presence of God is not. The only reason to walk through these doors is because the glory of the Lord is being revealed. Let me go just a little bit farther. When David became the king, David said, one of my first ventures, I've got to recapture the Ark of the Covenant. Now, when God smote the Philistines, they had already brought it back into Israel, but it was not where David wanted it to be. David said, I've got to bring it up to my city. And his city was not Jerusalem, it was Bethlehem. Bethlehem was the city of David. And David wanted to get the ark into his city. But the first time he went to gather the ark, he did not read the instruction. And he went and somehow put it on a new cart. And while the cart was making its way down the road, it hit a bump some kind of a way, and the ark tilted. There was a man by the name of Uzzah. He meant well, but he still wasn't doing right. A lot of times folk mean well, but they still make a mistake. Uzzah didn't know that he wasn't supposed to touch that holy vessel. And when it tilted, he stretched out his hand to try to stop it from falling. And because God was angry at his ignorance, he was stricken and died on the spot. David got trouble, said something is wrong with what we are trying to do. I can't continue this journey now, but there's one that lives nearby by the name of Obed-Edom, and we'll put the ark in his house and sanctify his household that they might keep the ark. When they put the ark of the covenant in the house of Obed-Edom, Obed-Edom's house began to get blessed. His wife got blessed. His children got blessed. When his neighbors would stop by just to say hello, everybody who walked in the house got blessed. When the presence of God is in the house, everybody will get blessed. Folk that come in to criticize, they'll end up getting blessed. Folk that come in out of curiosity, they'll end up getting blessed. For when the presence of the Lord is in the house, you can't help but get blessed. How many folk in here have already got blessed tonight? Oh! Hallelujah. The house contained the ark for 3 months. And somebody went and told David, David, don't you know that the house of Obed-Edom, as a result of you leaving the ark there, his family has been blessed. Everything in his house is blessed. David said, all right, I've done some study. I know how to go get it now. Let's go get the ark. And they got the priests. Sanctified the priests, told them don't touch it, but remember the poles, slip through the gold rings, and let's carry it the way it ought to. And the Bible said every time they moved 6 paces, David would have the people to stop and praise the Lord. They'd go another 6 paces and they'd stop and praise the Lord. And while they were walking that 6 paces, stopping and praising God, David ran ahead of them, and he was just dancing. And you know David wasn't no sissy. David was a strong man. He danced with everything in him. Danced until he danced out of his clothes. Danced with every muscle in his body, giving God the praise. And finally, when he got down to his city, he began to bless the folk, and he gave everybody a piece of flesh, bread, and a flagon of wine. And then he said, now I'm going home and bless my own house. But his wife, Michelle, looked out the window and saw him dancing, and she despised him in her heart. How glorious was the King of Israel as you shamelessly uncovered yourself before the handmaids. But I hear David say, if you think that was something, wait until the next time. Wait till God gives me another victory. If I dance till I look bad to you this time, next time I'm gonna praise him till I look bad to myself. Is anybody in here feel like you need to praise him? Has he done anything for you? Oh, give him glory. Oh, give him praise. Oh! Glory! I got to quit. I got to let this thing go. But David put it under a special tent, and there it remained till David closed his eyes and went to sleep in death. But when Solomon, his son, became the king, Solomon said, I got to do what my daddy wanted to do. I got to build God a house. And when they built God a house, they brought the ark from the city of David, and they also brought the tabernacle, which is called the tent of meeting. This is where God let them bring all the way through the wilderness. Every time they'd camp, they'd erect the tent of meeting, and under that tent was where the glory of God dwelt. One time the folk got mad at Moses, and they wanted to kill Moses, but the glory of God appeared in the tent door. And they had to back up off of Moses. So when they built the temple, Solomon brought the tent of meeting, and the Ark of the Covenant, and put it into a special place in Solomon's temple. And if you read in the book of 2 Chronicles, around the 5th chapter, you'll see that when they brought the Ark in, that the glory of God filled the house. Notice when they were walking through the wilderness, the glory of God didn't do anything but rest on top. But when they built the temple, the glory came in. And Solomon couldn't minister because a cloud, the Shekinah glory, filled the house of God. I want you to know that when the ark, the presence of God, is what's going forth in the church, the glory of the Lord will fill the house. And when his glory fills the house, sinners get saved, believers get baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. When the glory of God fills the house, sick folk get healed, impoverished folk get blessed. When the glory of God fills the house, people that are bound, their shackles are broken, and they get delivered. Somebody ought to say, Lord, fill this house. Oh, glory. I'm going to sit down, but I wish everybody would just get up and in your own way, lift up your hands, open your mouth, and give God some glory. Oh, give him glory. Oh!
You were blessed and revived by the KAYT Gospel Hour as we venture back in the past for a time of revival with oldies and goodies in sermon and song.
Lead me on.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
He can work it out. God bless both our adult choir and our youth choir. Come on, let's thank God for them on today, how they have blessed us in the praise of our God. He is worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun till the going down of the same, our God is worthy to be praised. We thank God today again for all of you who are worshiping with us for the first time, and we hope that you find out by the time you leave here today that this truly is the place where God blesses his people. And certainly we're blessed by you being here on today. There are many that we want to remember in prayer, and we're not going to have altar call, but I want to solicit prayer on behalf of the father of Sister Daphne Kennedy. Her father suffered a stroke just the other day, but we got a praise report from her on last night that it seems to be good with him. Amen. No damage to his brain. And certainly we thank God for that. And then there are others, amen, some that you know and some that I know. But whoever they are, we lift them up to the Lord on today, knowing that, as the choir just said, he can handle it. It's a fact if you put it in his hands. Come on, where are my folk that have put some things in the Lord's hands? And you're a living witness today that not only can he work it out, but he will work it out. And that's why we give him praise in this place. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. And we pray, God, that as we stand on thy behalf, that you will speak a word into the hearts and into the minds of your people. God, a word that will help us, Lord, to walk and talk and live in line with your word and with your will. Father, we thank you, we bless you, we give you praise. God, we realize that we've made it into this new year, not because we've been so good, not because we've gotten it all right, but because of your grace and your mercy. And for this, Lord, we thank you and we give you praise. And Father, we just ask that this word would multiply fruit in our hearts and in our lives, God, that we might be witnesses for you. We thank you, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. I want to call your attention to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, amen. When you find it, say amen. Amen. Romans chapter 1. And we're going to look at verses 16 and 17. Verses 16 and 17. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Amen. And there you will find these words. The Apostle Paul writes, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Amen. Amen. I want to talk for just a few moments this morning from this subject, and I'm just going to talk, amen, very casually about it. But I want to talk about a Facebook kind of faith. Kind of faith. Thank you, ushers. Thank you so much. Amen. Those of you who know me well know that I'm a strong advocate for the use of social media, both for the promulgation of the gospel and as a means of promoting events and activities. Y'all know Pastor Garner is a Facebook person. Amen. I believe that there is power in this social medium. Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg is the creator and founder of Facebook. And I've had opportunities to, amen, right on Facebook, I've had opportunities to save at least two or three individuals who were right in the midst of contemplating suicide. But because I was on Facebook, I was able to counsel them and intervene in such a way that they change their minds. on Facebook. I have had opportunities to argue both the pros and the cons of various